Well, let's go to Matthew chapter 2, or chapter 1, I'm sorry. Let's go through this. The genealogy of Jesus Christ, Matthew chapter 1. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. To Abraham was born Isaac, and to Isaac Jacob, and to Jacob Judah and his brothers. And to Judah were born Perez and Zerah by Tamar. And to Perez was born Hezron, and to Hezron Ram. Ram was born Abinadab, and Abinadab Nashon, Nashon Salmon, and Salmon was born Boaz by Rahab. And to Boaz was born Obed by Ruth, and to Obed Jesse. And to Jesse was born David, the king. And to David was born Solomon by her who had been the wife of Uriah. And to Solomon was born Rehoboam, and to Rehoboam Abijah, Abijah Asa. To Asa was born Jehoshaphat, to Jehoshaphat Joram, and to Joram Uzziah. And to Uzziah was born Jotham, and to Jotham Ahaz, and to Ahaz Hezekiah. To Hezekiah was born Manasseh, to Manasseh Amon, and to Amon Josiah. Josiah was born Jeconiah, and his brothers at the time of the deportation to Babylon. And after the deportation to Babylon, to Jeconiah was born Shealtiel, and to Shealtiel Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel was born Abiud. And to Abiud Eliakim, and Eliakim Azor. To Azor was born Zadok, Zadok Akim, and to Akim Eliud. Eliud was born Eleazar, and to Eleazar Mathan, and to Mathan Jacob, and to Jacob was born Joseph, the husband of Mary, by whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ. Therefore, all the generations from Abraham to David are 14 generations, and from David to the deportation of Babylon, 14 generations, and from the deportation to Babylon to the time of Christ, 14 generations. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man, and not wanting to disgrace her, desired to put her away secretly. And when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for that which has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. And she will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for it is he who will save his people from their sins. Now all this took place, that what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet might be fulfilled, saying, behold, the virgin shall be with child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which translates means God with us. And Joseph arose from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took her as his wife, and kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen. Now, this there's two genealogies in the New Testament. There's one here in Matthew. There's another one in also in Luke. And they're very similar, but one actually takes on the father, and the other genealogy takes on the mother. And so one follows Joseph's line, the other follows Mary's line. And, of course, Matthew would be the one writing about Joseph's line because, Matthew being a Jew, and Luke, which is, also Jewish, but kind of writes as a doctor, a physician, and so he picks up Mary's line, and they all converge, actually, from David. Here Matthew will choose Solomon, and the other genealogy will include Nathan. But just a quick overview of this, we don't have to go through the whole genealogy, but you'll notice that there's two significant junctions here in the genealogy. One actually happens at Rahab, and the other happens at Ruth. And so we see that, not too many women are mentioned throughout these genealogies, but it was interesting that he would mention these two, one being a prostitute and the other being a Moabite. And so, if you look, and, Jewish people are very, proud of having a pure line and these kind of things, but if they really look, their line's not pure at all, but it's kind of a sign or a picture of God's faithfulness in dealing with his people. Had not God come and interjected Rahab and Ruth into this picture, you would never have seen the culmination of the Lord Jesus Christ come. And so a lot of people, when we talk about, Jewish people and these things, and in fact, if you're interested, this week there's actually a conference. It's during the day, and so you probably have to be working, but there's a Messianic Jew that's teaching here in Hong Kong about different aspects of the Jewish life, how it relates to Christianity and these things. And I recommend if you want, just you can ask me, and I'll let you know where it is. I'm going to try to go tomorrow to a couple sessions. But, it's just the faithfulness of God over people. And it seemed like God had, spared Israel, and every time the genealogy was about to be cut, God comes into the midst of this scene and interjects these people, you know. And obviously, we taught on Ruth before, and we see how important her as a character was. And so, you know, all throughout this genealogy, you can miss it if you just read it straight through and think, oh, I can't even pronounce these names, what's going on. But you have to see the faithfulness of God coming through 14 generations before Babylon, after that, and then the time of Christ. You know, this genealogy is really a picture of the faithfulness of God, how God has been faithful in the life of Israel to bring them to, you know, to have them survive and to prosper to the place where the Lord Jesus Christ comes. And then when he does come to the earth, you know, just a couple of things. One, we kind of miss out on Joseph a lot throughout this time, but I really would picture Joseph as a real man of faith, you know, to come in, you know, and take Mary as his wife, even after, you know, she had conceived. And I mean, if you can imagine, you know, here's you're about to get married, or most likely in this passage, they are already married. Because when he says here that he wants not to disgrace her and put her away secretly, the word there is divorce. And so most likely they're probably already married at this point. And so can you imagine, you know, you get married to someone and, you know, you haven't, you know, consummated your marriage, and you see something growing in your wife's stomach. You know, as a guy, I think you'd be pretty ticked off, you know. And, you know, I can imagine Joseph going through this as well. And all of a sudden the angel of the Lord comes and says, no. And but the key that is obviously Joseph actually wasn't ticked off. You know, there was something about the character that he had, because he says he didn't want to disgrace her. And so this is a good picture, you know, of a very good husband, you know. And so you men that are husbands, and you ones that are aspiring to be husbands, Joseph is a very good example of this. You know, he doesn't look to himself. You know, I find that if I was in this situation, I'd be thinking about myself. Oh, my reputation. Oh, what are people going to think? No, he's thinking about the woman, right? His primary objective and his primary goal is to protect the woman, right? And as a husband and a father, and, you know, and hopefully you guys will be husbands and fathers in your day, I hope that that's a very important aspect of your relationship with your wife or your girlfriend or whatever the case may be, that you're there to protect them, right? That's our role, you know, just like Adam's role in the garden was to cultivate Eve. And so you need to be aware of that. And so I really, you know, just this morning, I was just really drawn to Joseph and just thinking, man, this guy was a really good guy, a real man of character through this, you know. And the last thing, it comes to this place, and Jesus comes, and he's if you look at verse 21, at the end of that, it says, and he who will save his people from their sins. That's why Jesus came. You know, we need to understand that we came to the world in a deficit. You know, every single one of us, right? The Bible says there's none righteous, not even one person, not even one person, right? No one seeks after God on their own. You know, and we're all sinners. And you know, the only way that you're going to reach out for a Savior is to realize that you need saving. You know, and I think we've met many people in our time, you know, that just don't think they need to be saved. You know, that just don't think that, you know, that they're okay, they're good moral people, and, you know, and you hear these discussions all the time. You know, but the fact is that Jesus Christ came to save us. Right, his primary objective is saving us. Even his name, right, his name literally is Jehovah Saves, Jesus, right, being the prefix of Jehovah, right, Jehovah Saves, you know, and he does it through this, and actually his name is really not Jesus, it's actually Yeshua, right, which is the word we get Joshua from, you know, and that's what it means, right, Jesus Saves, you know. And so, you know, he came to save us from our sins. Now, don't think I'm a nerd or anything, you know, but I was really thinking about Star Wars a little bit, you know, when I was thinking about this, because, the virgin birth and stuff, this is actually written all throughout popular culture. You know, you'll see many instances, you know, Superman just came out a little while ago, and Superman's son, you know, is actually that's not a virgin birth, right? Totally different, right? Let me go back to Star Wars, okay? That was more inspired, right? You know, yeah, like Anakin is supposed to be, right, this supernatural child, right? Came out of nowhere, you know, who knows Darth Vader, you know. But in that, I feel like George Lucas actually did a very good job in depicting what a lot of Christians even lose sight of. And the simple fact is that, you know, and just follow me for a second here. Anakin became evil to fight evil, right? Basically to overcome evil. That's basically what Jesus Christ did. Jesus Christ came to the earth and he became sin, right, that we may attain the righteousness of God. 2 Corinthians 5:21 says, him who knew no sin became sin, right, that we may attain the righteousness of God through him. You know, and so not that Jesus did evil deeds, right, it wasn't that, but when he was on the cross, all the sins of the world were pressed upon him, you know, and that's how he overcame the enemy. You know, and so, you know, Star Wars, I'm not a nerd or anything, but, you know, I thought, man, this guy, you know, like theologically, he did a fairly decent job kind of depicting our salvation history. You know, and so, you know, when we think about this, you know, Jesus Christ came and he died because he felt like it, right? He came and he died because he wanted to, you know, but he came and he died because of our sins, right? Because of those things that we do, those things that we think, those things that we don't do that we know we should do. And Jesus Christ went to the cross for that. And the sins of the world were pressed upon him. You know, you think it's important to live a moral life? Yes. You know, you think it's important to live a life that pleases God? Yes. You know, is it important to confess our sins? Yes. You know, these things that we, you know, it's kind of let go so easily. Oh, that's just a little white lie. You know, oh, that doesn't hurt anybody. Oh, this, you know, those things put the Lord Jesus Christ on the cross. In fact, he came to save us from our sins. You know, they're not just meaningless acts that happen. They're not just meaningless words that come out of our mouth. They're not just meaningless thoughts that flow through our mind. You know, and those things, you know, are things that put Jesus on the cross, right? So let's close our eyes today. Now, I'm not here to bash your head with your sin and these things. That's not my job, and I don't want to do that. But I want us to have a keen awareness. You know, during this the worship time, and the one of the songs that played, one of my favorite songs, you know, and I feel like God was kind of speaking to me and saying, you know, what are you doing here? You know, why are you here? You know, why are you fasting? You know, why are you waking up? And, you know, and it just kind of dawned on me, you know, because normally I'd be like, well, this is what I do every year. This is what I do every January. But I really came to the point, and just in my discussion with God, Lord, I just want to draw closer to you. God, I just want to know you. Lord, I just want to love you. You know, in a way that we draw close and we can receive and all that stuff, is we need to confess our sins. We need to change our habits if, you know, our lifestyles, if it's just not coming alongside, you know, God's purposes. It's not like God's some kind of killjoy, but, man, he wants you to be blessed. And so I just want us to spend some time today just in reflection. You know, Jesus said of his own life in John that I always do the things that are pleasing to him. And just as a litmus test or as a mirror today, are we attempting to live a life that pleases God? Or are we living a life that pleases ourselves? And hopefully this time of fasting and this time of sacrifice and drawing near and waking up early will kind of lead us into a life that pleases God. Let's just take a few moments and just reflect on that, and let's go before the Lord before I lead you in prayer. just to connect our first prayer focus, let's pray for ourselves. Let's pray that God would break through in our life in 2007. That maybe some of you guys are in a rut, or you're stuck, or, you know, you're in some kind of funk, or, you know, or maybe there's just some things that you know that God wants you to walk in, or wants you to have, or wants you to accomplish, or, you know, there could be so many different things. But in all that, you know that you need a breakthrough, right? You need to really bust through some barrier or some weight that's been on you. And so let's pray for ourselves. Let's ask God to really break through spiritually in our life this year. Let's go before God. Let's pray for Solomon's Porch. Let's pray that God would just really release a grand vision over our church in this year, that, you know, we just wouldn't be content and just growing a little bit here and there and seeing our budget grow, but that God would really place something within us, some eternal value that He wants to accomplish through this church in Hong Kong and throughout Asia and through the nations. Let's just cover the church and ask God to really release a vision for next year or this year. Let's spend some time, let's pray for our families. This is, you know, your immediate family, your cousins, grandparents, you know, aunts, uncles. Let's pray for strength in 2007. Let's pray for protection. Let's pray for provision, you know, over their, if their businesses or their work or whatever the case may be. And if they don't know the Lord, let's pray for salvation. Let's pray that God would release the word of salvation over our families this year. And maybe some of your family members are Christians, but kind of away from the Lord. Let's pray for a regeneration in their life as well. So let's just cover our families right now. Let's go to our member prayer focus, and let's start off, let's pray for our brother Nate, Pastor Nate Chung. All right, let's pray that God would break the laziness and the passivity in his life. It says he'd like to be more proactive and enthusiastic and tackling new things in his life. Let's cover him in that. Let's pray for anointing and power for preaching and teaching as he's be carrying on that role very soon. And let's also pray for wisdom in leading a youth group. So let's just cover Nate. Let's pray for our sister, Yun Leng. Let's pray for her mom and her brother to get to know the Lord and to accept Jesus as the Lord and Savior. Brother just started going to church in Singapore, so let's just continue to pray that God would continue to really minister to him. You know, that's something only God can do, right? Only God can initiate and lead people. And so let's just really continue to cover him and he would have an open mind. Also pray the brother who just graduated that would find a job that he enjoys. Pray for a closer relationship between her and the Lord, and that she would fully trust him in everything and walk by faith and not by sight. Also pray that she'd be the salt and light at her workplace and that she would glorify the Lord in everything that she does. And also pray for just the blessings over her work and that she would meet the targets that are assigned to her, and she would really just totally depend on the Lord for that instead of herself. So let's just cover Yun Leng. Let's pray for our brother Will. Let's pray for Will's sister, that the Lord would save her. Her name is Jenny. Also pray for Will's girlfriend's father, that he would meet the Lord as well. And let's pray for Will's father's business. And it's on the near bankruptcy, or it may have already been in bankruptcy now. Let's just really pray for a real recovery for the whole family, and God would just really minister to them and really open up new avenues for their dad and their mom as well. Let's also pray for Daniel and that he would recover spiritually and that he would have a real encounter with the Lord Jesus Christ. And also for Will to really, as he writes, to be able to give up something beautiful for Jesus in 2007, that he would just really submit his life before him. Let's just cover our brother. Yeah. Lord, we thank you for this wonderful journey, God, that you've put us on starting today, Lord. And I pray that you just continue to give us the strength, God, and help us to resist the temptation, Lord, and really to walk in just incredible gratitude, God, that you came to save us, Lord. Lord, you came because we had deep, deep spiritual needs, Lord God, and you accomplished it through the cross, God. And so we are so grateful, Lord. And we just want to start the year off, God, and just saying thank you, Lord God, by just offering you just this simple token of just prayer and fasting, Father. And so just strengthen us, God, throughout this time. Lord, bless our brothers and sisters, God. Lord, we ask that you'd help us today to give your Son glory. Lord, we bind our will to your will today, God. We ask for your covering, Lord. We thank you. We bless you. And in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Mm-hmm.